great Steve Touré, trombonist, and the person who introduced seashells as a musical instrument in his work with Rainbow People. It is a title track from his 14th album, released in 2008 on the High Note label. Apart from everything else, he's quite a striking person when you see him. He's a tall guy and known for that signature long braid that he has it that makes him so distinctive. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and a couple of things that we need to get to today. I wanted to talk about a trial. Well, it's not actually a trial. It is more like a hearing. It ought to be a trial, but it isn't. And that concerns a police officer who 5 years ago allegedly applied the chokehold that claimed the life of Eric Garner. He's up now, as of yesterday, a departmental hearing began, and that is where I'm going to right now. We have an officer, as you know. Let's just recap some of the main points of the death of Eric Garner. So Eric Garner was set upon, that's the only way to put it, by a gang of police officers in plain clothes at the terminal of the Staten Island Ferry in New York. He allegedly was selling what they called loosies, or loose cigarettes, which are untaxed cigarettes. There are people, most of them very poor, and who are cigarette smokers, and that's where they buy their cigarettes when they can. The loosies, or the loose cigarettes, give them the opportunity to satisfy that nicotine urge without having to spend, or without having the money to spend, to buy a pack of cigarettes. Now, it's hard to envision that this is a reality, or these are realities in the city of New York. But it's a reality. People, and elsewhere, people do what they have to do to survive. So, in his case, Eric Garner's case, what he did to survive was to sell these loosies, and his customers, one of the things that they decided to do is to smoke loosies. They can't, or borrow, as they would say, or bum a cigarette from somebody else. But that's that life. And Eric Garner is set upon by these police officers, one of whom, his name is Daniel Pantaleo, and we see him on video. A young man captured the whole incident on video. We see all these officers descend on Eric Garner, but one of them more viciously than the rest. And that one applied a chokehold to Eric Garner, which brought him down, and which sent him into unconsciousness. Actually, what we were witnessing was, I would say, a murder. We witnessed a murder, not an arrest. After Eric Garner went down, he was a big guy, and it was thought, well, that was a sign that the confrontation should be over. It didn't end there. We had, of course, the paramedics sent for, but when you watch the video, you see how lackadaisical the response was by the medical team that responded. And in the course of all of this, it was kind of not just lackadaisical, but negligent. It wasn't professional at all. Eric Garner, who had been so overpowered that he was not in control of himself, very clearly he wasn't. He seemed to have been put in a coma almost on the scene. So it was not surprising, because he kept repeating as a chokehold was being applied, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." And this phrase became the rallying cry for protests all over the country afterward. But you see Pantaleo literally leap. He's much shorter than Eric Garner. He leaped up onto Eric Garner and then applied the chokehold that brought Garner down. Well, we know that Eric Garner died as a result of this chokehold. And so begins the legal process now. And the legal process took a left turn immediately. For one thing, Pantaleo was the only officer, although there was literally a pack of them, who was charged. And the other problem that arose immediately, I commented about it several times, was that this became an administrative trial or hearing, not a trial, an administrative hearing, as opposed to a full-fledged criminal trial. Pantaleo's defense is that this was not a chokehold that he applied, but a departmentally approved procedure that police officers are taught to bring down, or to basically bring in hand anyone who is out of control. It is a maneuver, but it's not a chokehold. But whatever it is, we know that the police department had issued, specifically as it applied to chokeholds, it outlawed chokeholds, because there was a time when chokeholds were the preferred method of execution for people being arrested by the police, especially in communities of color. But Pantaleo's defense is that the procedure, the maneuver that he applied, the technique and tactic that he applied in arresting Eric Garner was in fact approved police procedure. Now, here is the crux of the matter to me. And I talked about this at length. Why is this an administrative hearing. Why is this not a murder trial? With Pantaleo, who for these last 5 years has been earning a living as a cop, a pretty good living, as much as $120,000 a year, as just a plain cop. He's not earned any major distinctions while in service on the force. Why is this an administrative hearing and not a criminal trial? We start with that question. So from the very beginning, then, we can say that this police officer has already benefited from the beginning from consideration that is not usually given to regular citizens, regular people. If an ordinary person were to have been in Pantaleo's situation of causing the death of someone by chokehold, he can call it whatever it is he wants to call it. The department can call it whatever it is they want to call it. I call it the chokehold. And it is the very chokehold that was outlawed. They had to be outlawed. That's how prevalent it was in terms of use by police officers at a time in New York City. They had to specifically outlaw the use of the chokehold to subdue people. At least this was the excuse that they gave for applying it in the first place. But we can see it the other way, that the chokehold was a method of execution, a preferred method of execution in some areas, because it was done by a police officer, usually against males of color. And it was given the approval of the department as a tool to control an out of control person. So I come back to this issue that no one in New York City has objected to this trial, this hearing, which really should be a criminal trial. And in this trial, a lot of things have happened. The police department, which should be under scrutiny in this situation, is now assigned the authority of a judge. No judge is hearing this. This is an administrative hearing. In other words, what should be a murder trial is now a discussion, a kind of technical discussion, as to whether this police officer who killed Eric Garner, who murdered Eric Garner, and knew that this maneuver that he was applying, which compressed Eric Garner's neck and then contributed to a series of major health issues that ended up claiming Eric Garner's life. This is now a matter of procedure. Did the police officer's procedure follow departmental guidelines? You see where it's gone already. It has been taken outside of the realm of jurisprudence, where a police officer who is charged with being a killer cop now has a technical advantage legally with the assistance of the very department and the system that ought to be charging him as a murderer. And not only that, for the past 5 years, as I said, this officer has been earning as much as $120,000 a year, plus benefits, while Eric Garner is dead. His family is devastated. In fact, his daughter, Erica, who became a very strong and unrelenting activist behind this and launched a nationwide protest, also died. So it's taken quite a toll on the Garner family. And while they're suffering like this, the police officer did not spend one day in jail, didn't have to fear even the remote possibility that he would be tried for murder or similar crime. He was confident about that. And the police organization, the union, and other parts of the police apparatus went immediately to work and delivered automatically and immediately delivered Pantaleo from the jaws of justice. He has had 5 years as a free man, completely unbothered by the prospect of being tried as a killer. So now comes this administrative hearing. Now, in this administrative hearing, this is what I'm trying to get at here, this sleight of hand that very often is afforded members of the New York Police Department. This sleight of hand, this shift. I've been watching the coverage, and no one has raised this point. No one intends to raise this point. How do you make a police official a judge, just like that? Because the what is being tried here is not Pantaleo and his crime of murder. What is being tried here is the semantic issue of whether what Pantaleo did to Eric Garner was a chokehold or an approved police procedure that is taught to police officers. So the technique is the subject of this administrative hearing, not the act, not the crime. And so we have a blatant, they're not apologizing for this and they're not hiding anything. This is what they're doing. It has been decided this police officer will not come to trial, no matter what. The system exempted him from the start. He is not to be burdened with the charge of murder or manslaughter. Under the law. Instead, they opened up a whole different alternative for him, which is to now frame the matter as an administrative issue. And the question is not whether the cop is a killer cop. The question is whether technically what he did to Eric Garner was within his training guidelines. And whether the death of Eric Garner was not murder, not manslaughter, but a misapplication of police training, you see? In the meantime, while we figure out all the, you know, the ins and outs of how we're going to cover this thing up and give this police officer a special dispensation, we will shift the focus and no one will be the wiser. And indeed, it appears no one is the wiser, because this is at the very heart of corruption and of police brutality. And now they've compounded this by putting in charge of this, quote, hearing. It is not a trial. He's not accused of any crime under the statutes that the regular schmo would be accused of. This is an administrative procedure, except it isn't. The judge in the case is not a judge. He cannot administer the law. There's no discussion of the law in this trial, so-called trial slash hearing. There's no discussion of the law or the penal code as it applies to Officer Pantaleo's actions. It is about procedure, whether technically the murder of Eric Garner was consistent with, perhaps maybe was overzealous, but consistent with the application of a legal maneuver, a legal procedure that officers are trained to use. So if Eric Garner died, it's Pantaleo. This is what they're trying to make a big philosophical discussion about it. Did Officer Pantaleo actually kill Eric Garner? Or was his use of this procedure taught within the police department at fault? Was it that procedure that is the problem? Either way, here's my argument. Somebody changed what should happen here. And not only that, it has already been accepted. This change has already been accepted as appropriate and correct. The officer will not be charged with murder or manslaughter or similar charges and prosecuted under the laws of the state of New York. Instead, this would be a closed hearing. A police official will be the judge, as it is now. And a police official, the police commissioner, essentially, is now in charge of determining the possible charge of murder. In fact, they've already determined it's out of the question. They've already expunged murder from the list of crimes that Pantaleo committed on that day when he forcibly took Eric Garner down and ended his life. It is actually on video as it happened. By the way, that's another story where the young man who filmed it became a target and still is a target of the police department. But here's the thing, right before our eyes, even as a Democratic mayor talks about how much he supports, you know, civil rights and the police department must be properly supervised and all this kind of stuff, but nobody is talking about this point. This is the point. There's no other point. The city's committing a crime. The officer has already committed a crime and continued to commit a crime by insisting that he did not commit a crime. Maybe he was a little too enthusiastic. But it's not a crime to be enthusiastic when you apply a chokehold. And it wasn't a chokehold. It was a maneuver. So they're not discussing, the police department is not discussing itself, that the department itself felt the need to be explicit about outlawing among police officers the use of the chokehold. That's what they called it. They didn't call it a maneuver. They didn't call it a procedure. They didn't call it a tactic. They called it the chokehold. So now we have to deal with the question. And who is going to force the question? So far, nobody. The family, as far as the judgment goes, the family has already received compensation in a settlement. That should be enough. And then we have a police officer. Even though there were a pack of police officers roaming the streets of Staten Island, like any other pack, except they had legal authority and they had the permission to roam the streets as a pack. And this confrontation with a man who's, let's look at it, selling loose cigarettes. The whole pack attacked him to bring him down and to charge him with this very serious crime that cost him his life. And the attitude is, well, you know, he broke the law. And crime does not pay. He, Eric Garner, determined the fatal outcome. He was the principal actor here. If he had cooperated with the arrest by this pack, it would not have turned fatal. If he had not been heavy, this was one of the things that they said. Eric Garner died because he was overweight and in poor health. Not that a police officer had his arm compressing his neck, choking off air supply, killing him. And he knows that that was a fatal maneuver. He knows it. He was trained. They know the potential of what could happen if things decide to go wrong. it would immediately cause death. This is why the police department and the police commissioner was forced. They were forced to confront this issue because it was happening so regularly to people of color, especially men, killing them. This was legally sanctioned murder. That's the only way I could describe it. And now, 5 years, they went underground with this because the too much heat. The murder of Eric Garner brought too much heat, not just on the police department in New York City, but the police departments all around the country. And so they figured, give it a little time. In the meantime, Daniel Pantaleo can continue his career. An ordinary police officer. Imagine that. An ordinary guy. He's not an extraordinary or exemplary police officer who has accomplished so much while on the department, serving with distinction. Not at all. But he was pulling in $120,000 a year. And his thug mentality went unchecked. And now we have the second part of the lie being perpetrated for all to see. And not one major news outlet has raised a question. How is this not a criminal trial? Why are we to accept this so-called administrative hearing instead of a trial? This is where a jury of Eric Garner's peers, actually, ordinary people, they're the ones to decide what happened. But they are absolutely locked out of this. The police department is having none of it. It's been arranged. This is going to be a hearing, a procedural hearing, not a criminal hearing. And so they want to convince us that this is justice. Now, I'll take a break and then I'll come back and ask what you think right after this. Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. And as we begin the second part here with your comments and observations, I just want to remind you that the time is approaching when we should be seeing each other on Sunday, May the 26th at 1 p.m. at the Community Church in New York City, 40 East 35th Street between Madison and Park Avenues. I've been invited by the Global Affairs Committee of the Community Church to make an address. This would be my second. It was incredible last year when I was there, and we literally shut down the place because we stayed so long talking to each other. But that was the point. We want to create our community, enlarge our community. And this is one way to do it, to get together. So May the 26th at 1 p.m., registration, and registration simply means tell me who you are so I know that I've met you. That's all. And not, it's not, not anything is to be charged at all. It's all free, and that's the way we want it. So schedule yourself to be at the community church, 40 East 35th Street, between Madison and Park Avenues, on May the 26th, and we will have another great year together. Thank you so much for that. All right. You see, you know, this is what I call reporting. But you're not going to find this kind of reporting. They're not interested in that kind of reporting. And nobody's asking the questions. I have yet to see anybody asking these questions. Who decided to change all kinds of rules here? Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm upset, I know. I just wanted to say that I completely agree with you. And one of the things that, you know, I couldn't believe when I first saw it was we watched, and they watched, like, I think 12 people stood around and watched this man be murdered. All the people that stood around, they watched him get murdered. And then nobody came for a while to help him out. They were just, you know, he was laying on the ground dead, and everybody participated. And it's hard for me to believe that this is not a murder case. And it's hard for me to believe that for years this is going on like this. They've dragged their heels about this case. And I don't really care what the mayor says. He's full of crap. It was so clear that this was a murder. It's all filmed, and you can see everything that happened. And I don't think this man should be going to any kind of a hearing. I think this man is guilty of murder. They made a decision to do that. They jumped on top of him. He said he couldn't breathe, and they kept going. And all there was a kind of like a gang up, like you see in school when you're in school and all the kids, you know, like jump on top of another one. It was that gang mentality. And it's a serious problem when you talk about gang mentality, and it's supposed to be the people that are the police force. This is really something that I don't think has been fixed or handled. And I think it's only led to more of the same. I have often told people that I don't think we are going to a police state. You're in a police state right now. When the police have the right to kill you and ask questions later, and nobody goes to jail, you're in a police state. But it's very interesting to see how that woman who was also killed by the police, I believe in Minnesota, it was I think he was Muslim, the policeman, and she was a very pretty woman from Australia. And boy, they had no compunctions about that. That guy was tried, and he is going to jail, and he was tried for murder, and that was that. So it's always very disappointing to see how accountability lines up. But I just wanted to call you and tell you that I'm really happy that you're talking about it. And I think even more heartbreaking is that his daughter, who tried to, you know, pick up the battalion for her father and lead on, she also died, and that's very, very sad. And I frankly, I've always felt suspect about that, because she was a young girl, and she, I just seems strange to me that she was, you know, making waves about this, and all of a sudden she ends up dead. But I'm just want to tell you that I agree with you. To me, it's a murder. We should have a murder trial. And it's not just about dropping the ball. And the funny thing was that somebody pointed out to me, you know, Giuliani was a pig in every which way you can imagine.
All right. We don't have to go there.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot I wasn't on the bus in New York, but that's how we talk on the bus in New York. But what was interesting about Giuliani, one thing was when the police raped Luima, Abner Luima, he was raped in the bathroom by police officers with, I think, either their batons or broken off broomsticks. Now, that was interesting, because there is one thing that Giuliani did do. He put all four of those policemen in a room, and he said, nobody's leaving in here until I find out who did it, and whoever did it is going to jail. He did do that. And, you know, I find that it's always so disappointing. We never see a Democrat do anything like that. I mean, I don't think he did it because I don't think he's a particularly nice man. I think he did it to show that he controls the police department. I don't think it had a lot to do with, you know, justice for a black guy, but he did do it. And this to me was such a clear case. You're watching them actually murder this guy. And no one could, you know, the current mayor could not come up with a way of bringing any justice here. And to me, right, the biggest problem is about when you don't bring justice and you don't do anything about it, then these cases continue to happen and they get bigger and bigger because there's no consequences to doing it.
They continue to happen when people allow it to happen. This is a Democrat in office.
Yes.
It's a democratically controlled city council. And so the question still comes back to, we know we can point fingers of blame, but no one is able to deliver any results here as a result of pressure. Thanks a lot for getting us started. Trisha from D.C., you're on the air.
Oh, hi. How are you today? You Trish Lee.
Fine. Trisha, thank you, Trisha. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I have a personal experience with the police. I was visiting my friend in prison in California, and they stopped me on this dirt road I was leaving, and there was a stop sign, and they said I didn't stop, so I argued with the police. It was a dirt road, and it was inside the prison complex, so it was even like a place. I mean, you stop, but you just, you know. Anyway, I got argued, so they said, oh, you're under arrest. And then they just pushed me to the ground, and they said at the cop station, they said, oh, well, you had jumped. I was like, why would I jump going out of the car? And two men.
But you're telling us about your case. We're talking about
this
case.
Well, anyway, I was just explaining to you that how they do it. Then they drop the charges because my father said, oh, well, she was bruised and all that. But see, that's what they do. They're just very, you know, blatantly. They don't even care if, you know, a woman or anything. They'll just, you know, I thought I was going to be raped like Rodney King because how they forcefully, you know, push me to the ground just to handcuff me. And just so they don't really care about anything. That was my point about how, you know, talking about.
Thank you for contributing that. What we're looking for in our discussion today is what is to be done. We had the first crime, which was heinous enough. We had the second crime when the police officer didn't spend one day in the jail. And still allowed to earn his salary of $120,000 a year, doing that no change in his life on that account. And then we have the assurance to the police officer that he really is not, he has no reason to fear anything, because this is a procedural issue that they're talking about. What should be a murder charge and a murder trial is now a procedural matter. Thank you. Ed from Queens, you're on the air. Hello? Okay. Noel from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, no. Yes.
Hello,
this
how
is...
you doing? Can you hear me?
Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Ed from Jamaica, Queens.
You're Ed from Queens?
Yeah, that's me. Yeah,
okay. I asked and nobody was there. So what have you to say?
Bit of a mix up. Well, this case, unfortunately, is routine. It's par for the course. And because the public doesn't do anything about it. I've always had my own views on this. I believe, number one, we need to have a real civilian complaint review board with real teeth, with the power to indict, with the power to call people to trial, and it's got to be an organization that's outside of the police department. Number two, we need prosecutorial.
But you already have that. It's called the system, such as it is. You have a district attorney. That's his job or her job. You have a court system that can certainly oversee a trial. It does it all the time to African-American and Latino men.
It doesn't
so
work.
So why is it just suddenly it doesn't seem to work?
Because it never has worked when it comes to the police. The police and the district attorney's office have an incestuous relationship. And the two you're
getting outside. All right, but I'm asking, you're stating things that I'm accepting as reality. Okay.
Yes.
The question I'm asking is, what, therefore, should the penalty be against the police commissioner, the mayor of the city of New York, the city council, and so forth? The people who are allowing this to happen, what should the people do?
Well, in the final analysis, all we have is the vote. And these people need to be, if they're not, we know that they're not doing their job properly when it comes to this matter, among other things. They got to vote in my office.
I mean, there's nobody filing anything to challenge the decision made 5 years ago that this case would never come to trial, that at best it would only be a procedural matter, a hearing. Nothing is going to happen to Officer Pantaleo in a hearing.
Well, no, it becomes a matter of procedure. What they're calling it, he applied a seatbelt hold that devolved into a chokehold because of the man's weight and because of the situation where it was going, and basically he shouldn't have applied the seatbelt hold. I mean, that's a whole bunch of BS. The bottom line is, where's the public advocate? Where is the independent force that can hold the police accountable when they commit a crime?
Yes. And I mean, where are the people? This is the I'm so tired of saying this. Where are the people putting the pressure? They're totally absent. Everybody knows what the police commissioner ought to do, what the mayor ought to do, what the public advocate ought to do. Great. What are the people supposed to do that they're not doing?
Well, it's what the people are not doing. It's what the people have never been doing. Complacency. You got to get out in the streets. You got to make noise. And nobody's making any noise for anything. And it's becoming more apathetic as time goes on with the situation. Like I always say, it's going to take a great tragedy to motivate the people. Which
it's already
does.
We already saw a great tragedy that. Mm-hmm. Lit fires all across the country about this very same issue about police conduct and misconduct.
Yes.
People have done that. And look what we have. We still have the standard response, which is to find a way, while the police officer is earning a very lucrative salary, find a way to expunge him from blame even before he goes to trial. Thanks so much for your call, Ed. Yeah. Noel from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, yes. You made a comment earlier about what you felt about the chokehold. I'm going to say, even forget about what you said. The coroner himself said that he died from a chokehold. Now, the other thing about journalism that I was watching the local Fox station here, Channel 5 here in New York, WNYW, their report was about that it is in the police guide. Now, a reporter would then say, well, where is it in the police guide that shows that you can still perform a chokehold? And the lawyer Pantaleo was saying also about that, well, he was breathing fine before he was choked. Well, where is the police, where is the lawyer's medical background? And also, where is the background of Patrick Lynch to say about what could and how they died and the whole bit? So here are people who are alleging to be police officers and attorneys who are now putting themselves in a medical arena, which they have no business in.
Well, not only that, I don't understand why so many people who played such a dastardly role in all of this still have their jobs.
Correct, correct, correct. With, de Blasio and Letitia James. I don't believe anybody mentioned her name. Letitia James was the public advocate, but she's part of that machine, that machine of the Democrats with Hillary Clinton and all the other kiss-ups all along the line. I didn't vote for her for attorney general. She's saying nothing at public advocate, and she's saying nothing at the attorney general of the state of New York. So it's once again a clown show. Once again, Utrice, I personally have not a clue what we could possibly do, because a lot of us can't seem to even get together on just about anything. This should be massive protests. This should be, but it nobody seems to be caring. I don't know why.
Well, I talked about it when they had these closed door hearings, these secret mm-hmm. hearings some time ago. I talked about the fact that it seems it incomprehensible to me that people can't figure out there's a sleight of hand here that it is just so egregious.
And Utrice, before I forget, in the past, I can't remember whether it was Anthony Baez or whatever, and I don't want you to quote me on a fact because I was told this, so it's basically hearsay. But I was told that a police officer in the past who was fired from the police department then became a utility worker, like for Consolidated Edison. And for those around the country who don't know, Consolidated Edison is the electric company here in the New York City metropolitan area. So even if Pantaleo was fired, which I don't even think they are going to do, I think that that's going to take his vacation time from him, he literally can become a bus driver, he could become a Con Edison worker, he could maybe flip hamburgers. Who knows? So what a upside down legal system. And finally, there was a young man who killed someone in Queens. You may have heard the story. Well, he didn't kill somebody. He broke into a T-Mobile and actually, due to friendly fire from the police department, the police were actually the one to kill someone else. They charged that young man of doing that, but they didn't charge the police officers who were firing just at random. So what kind of justice do we have here?
Well, you see, again, the missing ingredient is direct public action.
Yes,
and we don't have it. And the mm-hmm. accountability of officials, somebody still ought to explain how this potential murder case has become a hearing.
Yes, ma'am.
And the hearing is not about the death of Eric Garner, but about the efficiency of a so-called police procedure. So mm-hmm. we've got work to do. Thanks a lot for your call.
You're welcome.
Well, we pretty tight here, very tight on time. But Anthony, if you can give us your synopsis as quickly as you can.
Okay. Good afternoon to you.
Thank you.
See, Utrice, I can tell you from experience, as being at one point in my life a New York City police officer, when they came after me and took the job away under false pretenses.
But if you don't mind, we have to deal with the issue at hand. We're speaking about specific case, tight on time. So we get to it?
From the incident concerning Garner, and when those police officers arrived on the scene and they were told that the man had just broken up a fight, all right? So he was being more of a peace officer. And I think Mayor de Blasio and all of them should give that man that peace officer status and and forward money and stuff to his family.
Well, thank you so much, but that brings us to the end of our program today. As you can see, you know, people talk about journalism. This to me is a fundamental, you couldn't get more fundamental than this in terms of journalism, to see what the issue is. And that is why we encourage each other to think for ourselves. If you're waiting for the New York Times and the Washington Post and the NBC and whoever else to define reality for us, you see the trouble we'll be in. This is not on their radar. It's not on their radar. We have to do the work, but we have to be thinking right as well. So that brings us to the end of the program today. Let's talk again tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Bye-bye.